All right, it's time for Sunday school. Me dismissed. Turn to the book of Proverbs. Book of Proverbs in chapter 2. All right. Start reading in chapter 2 and verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thy heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as for hid treasures, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the paths of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Thou shalt understand righteousness, and judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked, and they are froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither they that take hold of the paths of life. That thou mayest walk in the way of good men, and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you would bless us as we open your word today. Lord, we need understanding, we need help, we need strength. I pray, Lord, that you would grant it today. Bless us, Lord, all our classes that are meeting, the other churches that are meeting. Lord, we need your blessing and your help and your strength. Lord, we want to do everything in here in a way that will honor and glorify you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I read the entire chapter, chapter 2. You know, if this chapter right here, if you ever really got a hold of the principle of this chapter right here, man, it would just absolutely change your life. We gave a kind of an introduction to the book of Proverbs last week, and like I said last week, that my intention is not to go on a verse-by-verse study through the book of Proverbs, but basically what I want to do is to try to pique your interest in some of the things that the book of Proverbs has to offer to someone who has a desire to want to live wise and to live godly. And last week we kind of saw it from a few different aspects, and we saw it from the aspect of a growing and a developing child, developing up into adolescence and then into adulthood, and able to fend for himself. And we kind of compared that to also a Christian as he's beginning to grow and learn and grow in wisdom. And there's just several things that I want to point out today. What I want to kind of lay out is I want to show you how much emphasis the book of Proverbs puts on wisdom and what wisdom really is. Wisdom is real important. It's important to be wise. We're going to see a comparison between wise men and between fools. And I don't think the comparisons are going to be hard to illustrate. They're not going to be hard to catch. It's going to be real easy. And you're going to see the importance of wisdom. And the way that he starts out, if you read these first couple of verses right here, I mean, we're talking about this isn't something that is necessarily easy to do. Look what he says here, if thou wilt receive my words. Well, if you're going to receive somebody's words, an instructor or somebody who's over you, you're going to have to be humble, and that's not always easy. And you're going to have to hide my commandments with thee. You know, contemplation is not one of the strong factors of our modern society. You know, we're go, 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 and we've got things to do and places to see and people to, or places to go and people to see. I mean, we got all kinds of things going on, and there's not much time for contemplation nowadays, you know. You read about some of these old testimonies, old Hudson Taylor, you know, getting up and doing a 2-hour quiet time in the morning, and I say, how, you know? How in the world, you know? And I even had one brother tell me one time, you know, he said, you should be at least an hour and a half in the morning in quiet time. Well, at the time, I had to be at work at 5:45 in the morning. So for me to have that kind of a quiet time, I just stay up, you know. Just never sleep, you know. Tell you what, our lives are go, 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 go. But, you know, God wants us to contemplate some things. He wants us to spend some mental effort in meditating on some things. You know, not everything in the Word of God is up front, and not everything just is revealed right away. And so, you know, it to get a heart of wisdom and understanding, it's going to take a little bit of effort on your part. You know, if thou criest, verse 2, if thou incline thine ear unto wisdom, apply thine heart to understanding. We see the same kind of tendency here. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, verse 3, you know, this kind of gives the idea of desire. You know, if thou criest after knowledge, you know, there has to be some sort of desire. Amen. Have you ever tried to teach somebody who just didn't care? You know, you're wasting your time almost. You know, I remember Lindell the other day, I guess he mentioned something in the meeting, how he really enjoyed teaching teachers, you know. And somebody could take offense to that and say, well, what, everybody else isn't worth teaching? Well, you know what he's trying to say? There is a verse in the Bible that you teach something to men who shall be able to teach to others also. You know, you want to give wisdom, you want to impart knowledge to somebody who's actually going to do something with it. And it's very difficult to try to teach somebody. Try to explain to a teenager who has a bona fide biological defect in their eyes that caused them to roll up towards their heads whenever anything is said. I know it has nothing to do with the heart or with the soul or with the attitude. It's a biological defect. I'm sure there's a syndrome associated with it. But to me, that is the most irritating thing in the world. You know, man, you know you got some wisdom. You know that you could help this young man. And they're just over there going. That's why adults slap kids. That's why stuff like that happens. I'm not advocating that by any means. Probably ought to strike that from the tape. I'm just saying that that's why that sometimes happens, you know, because you get angry, you know. Hey, come on, man, I'm trying to teach you something good, and you're doing that to me? You're thinking, you know? But man, you get someone who cries after knowledge, who seeks for understanding, searches. Those are going to, it says here, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for as for hid treasures. Man, you get the you get the metaphor behind that, right? You see how these guys, man, they'll do all kinds. I mean, it's the proverbial gold digger, you know? He'll go out there and he'll pan gold all day, all night. He'll look under rocks. He'll do all these things just to get one little, tiny little nugget of gold. You know, that's the way we ought to be towards wisdom. You know, we spend our whole life in preparing for the accumulation of wealth. And a great deal of our kids' training in schools is exactly towards that. They're not training our kids necessarily just to get wisdom in and of itself. You know what they want them to do? You better pay attention in class. You better get good grades so that you can go to college. So what? So that you can get a good job and make lots of money. I mean, that's the goal. But I tell you what, there's another goal too, and that's to be wise. Do you have any... Any kind of desire in your heart to be wiser than what you are right now? You ever get caught up in a stupid situation and you do something dumb and then you say, man, why didn't I see that coming? Well, I tell you what a lot of people do. They will regret not seeing that coming, and then they will just walk down the road and not take anything to heart, not try to pull out any lessons, not try to do any introspection, not try to search out the Word of God and find out what in the world I did wrong and what I could do right next time. You know, this is an effort that we as Christians ought to be involved in all the time. A constant accumulation of knowledge. You know, this is a search, is what it is. We'll read a verse later on that talks about laying up wisdom. You know, everybody is different on what they consider valuable. You know, there are some people that consider new things valuable. You know, you go into a store and buy a new thing, hey man, this is valuable. Then you got some people that consider old stuff valuable. Let me tell you what I've made a decent amount of money doing, and I haven't been ashamed to do it because the clients wanted it, is to take beautifully finished furniture, sand it down, paint it red, and then over that paint it green, and then over that paint it black, and then sand through that, and then take a bicycle chain and beat this beautiful piece of furniture. And then take an eighth inch, I mean, you guys are looking at me like, what are you talking about? Some of you know. And to drill little wormholes in the thing in order to make it look old. And you sand it through it, they call it distressed. And I did that one time to a beautiful piece of Ethan Allen furniture. I mean, this thing was gorgeous. And I beat the snot out of that piece of thing and charged the lady a lot of money to do it. Well, to her, that was valuable, man. She was willing to put out that kind of money because to her, that was valuable. And everybody has their own ideas about what's valuable. Let me tell you what you ought to consider as valuable, and that's wisdom. Amen. Let me tell you, there is a great deal of wealth in associated with wisdom. And the sad thing is that too many Christians are satisfied with living very superficially, without any kind of introspection into their own soul, into human behavior, into what's good or bad, and into what's right or wrong. And it leaves them very vulnerable to their own passions and to their own lusts. Where the book of Proverbs, man, I tell you what, if you got into this book, you would accumulate some real valuable wisdom. Now let me tell you the weakness of just blanked out there. Let me try to get my mind back on track. The weakness of what, Brian?
Make you feel much better.
You know, this is actually encouraging to some of you because you're identifying, you're going, man, that's me, man. You're welcome. Jesus made a statement. He said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust does corrupt and thieves break through to steal. We've experienced some of that, right? Thieves getting out here in our cars and breaking through and stealing, and there wasn't really a whole lot we could have done about it. You know, and very valuable things getting stolen. But how you gonna steal wisdom from a man? You know, how are you going to take that away from me? I mean, if God gives you some wisdom, man, you can, or gives me some wisdom, you can take away my possessions, you can take away the health of my body, but man, if I've got some wisdom, then I've got something that'll carry me through some things. Man, I think about that pastor over there in Iran. You know, we prayed for him for a long time that he'd get released from prison. You know, our hearts went out to him, didn't we? We identified with his suffering. There he is in prison. He's got a wife and two kids outside of prison. He's in prison for preaching the gospel. You know, it's not some unrighteous charge. He's in there for preaching the gospel. So we were praying for him to get out, right? And so he does. And then we hear the story later on that the guy gets put back in prison on a legal technicality. You know, they just keep getting after him. And then you think, man, what But you know something? I bet if we went and talked to that man, I bet he'd have some wisdom. You see, this is wisdom that'll carry you through some hard times. You see, I don't have much value in stuff that's only good when things are good and things are right and things are sunshiny. And that's the problem with the way that the world views success and the world views how things go, you know. As long as everything's good, you know, I got my possessions and I got my health and I got my car and I got all these things. Everything's going good. But, you know, they don't have a lot of answers for when not everything goes good, you know. But God will give wisdom. And that wisdom, look what it says down there a little bit farther in verse 10. It says, when wisdom if entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. Now, there is a definite correlation between the quality of life and between the amount of wisdom in your life. I mean, some people, they just... I know that Christians aren't supposed to use the word lucky. I find another word. I don't know. Some people, you just look at them and you just shake their heads and you say, how in the world? You know, because there are some people that are obvious fools. They are obviously devoid of all understanding, yet everything's going their way. Wasn't that one of the psalmist's complaints, you know, that, hey man, these guys, they don't know you, they're not seeking after your face, but everything's going good for them. You know, we've got exceptions to the rule, but you know, there is some correlation between the quality of your life and how much wisdom you have. It says here that discretion shall preserve thee and understanding shall keep thee. You know, there's some real value to wisdom. I made the statement one time, and somebody got after me for it. And I made the statement that says, you know, there was something that happened in the news, and I think like three or four people in one night in San Antonio had gotten shot. And I made the statement like, you know, that very unlikely something like that's ever going to happen to me. You know, and they came up to me afterwards and they said, hey, you know, you're kind of proud, you know, you're kind of stuck up thinking that something like that's not going to happen to you. And I said, well, you didn't hear the rest of the part what I talked about, you know, because then after that I said, well, you know, here's one guy that got shot sitting on his motorcycle at 2 o'clock in the morning, sitting outside of a bar. I'm telling you, that's probably not going to happen to me.
Amen.
The other guy got into a fight inside of the bar. They had an argument over what happened with the pool game, and they were all drunk, and they got into a fight, and somebody got shot. And then the same thing, somebody else was hanging out on the street at 1 o'clock in the morning. Let me tell you, where I'm usually at 1 o'clock in the morning. Now call me an old fuddy-duddy, I don't care. I'm usually home, you know. I'm with my kids, and I'm usually asleep, you know. The kids can attest to that, you know. They know that if they want Dad's attention, they get it before he sits down in his chair. Because my chair sometimes becomes my bed, you know. That's where I stay, you know. But I didn't consider it a proud statement. Now, understanding, you know, if I walked away from the Lord and I decided to get screwy with my life, of course, you know, where am I going to gravitate? You know, I'm going to start gravitating out towards those places. You know, I remember one brother came up to me, he was real indignant, and I'm trying to be, you know, cautious with this, but he was real indignant. He said, you know, I saw a sister from the church, and she was at a wet t-shirt contest at a bar. And I'm going, wow, man, that's sad, man. Who? And he told me who it was, and I said, tell me, how did you find out? He said, man, I saw it. Sometimes it's hard not to laugh. He's there in his righteous indignation, you know. And I said, so what were you doing there? Well, you know, it's Friday night. I got to go somewhere. No, you don't have to go there. Let me tell you what wisdom will do. Discretion shall preserve thee. Understanding shall keep thee. Man, we could go in 1,000 different directions. How wisdom is good for your body. It's good for your body. It's good for your soul. It's good for your life. Now, I'm not a prosperity gospel by any means. I don't believe that if you give your life to the Lord, all of a sudden you're going to be wealthy. If you give God $100, He'll give you back $1,000. You know, you can see through a lot of that stuff real clear. Because they're not talking, when you see a preacher on TV, he's not talking about giving money to your local church. He's talking about giving it to his ministry. You know, there's always that qualification. You send money to me. So I'm not a prosperity gospel, and you guys know that. We don't get off on that around here. But there is some prosperity associated with wisdom. Let me tell you, understanding shall preserve thee. Let me tell you, when I act without wisdom, then I get into a lot of trouble. Let me tell you, there are so many areas, so many facets, and we're going to be looking at some of those this month. So many areas where wisdom is going to apply. How about in something so unspiritual as spending your money? You want to get some good advice? You want to get some phenomenal advice that I don't know if Susie Orman and all these other people are following this kind of advice, but I know that Proverbs will tell me how to spend my money. You know, it's an amazing thing. When I got saved, I automatically became more prosperous because I wasn't buying cigarettes. So that money I could put towards something productive. I wasn't buying alcohol. Man, there was a big expense. I mean, you people that are poor, you know, they're crying and complaining, you know, that they don't make enough money on their job and they don't live in a good enough house, you know, but they got this big old beer in their hands. You know, I'm telling you, we spend our money. So spending money is one way. You get some wisdom and all of a sudden you become a little bit more prosperous. There are verses in the Bible that talk about, there's that one verse in Proverbs. Let me see if I can figure out which one it is. Judy was helping me look it up this morning. And it says that a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Judy, which verse was that?
Proverbs.
She's edging her bets. Some of you guys have electronic Bibles. I've seen you preach in them at the open meeting. So, anybody? Say
17:22.
Hey, there's a verse in the Bible that says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. You know, I kind of like that verse. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Now, I understand the Christian comedians, that's their favorite verse, you know, when they want to do Christian comedy, but it's not really associated with Christian comedy. It's associated with the condition of the soul. You know, we've got bona fide medical evidence that shows that stressed out and angry and frustrated people do damage to their biological body. Stuff happens to your body when you aren't right in your soul. But, and they do studies, you know, that laughter, you know, actually has benefits. You know, I'm not saying we ought to be walking around all the time cracking jokes and just being lighthearted, but, and I don't think that that's necessarily the primary application of the word merry, you know, because we deal with a word in the Bible called joy. And this joy is joy in the midst of trials. You know, when tears are running down your face and your heart is heavy, yet there can also be joy at the same time. You know, there's something different. I'm constantly learning this lesson. I'm constantly learning this lesson that merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And you know, sick people don't like to take medicine. And so when somebody is sick, that means that when they're frustrated, when they're angry, when they're self-absorbed, when they have all these other issues going on inside their soul, and you come along and you're happy, doesn't it just irritate them to no end? Man, I love it at work, man. I still do it now today, Friday afternoon. Hey, man, only two more days, man. They're like, what are you talking? Monday. And now they already know. They're like, I know, Monday. And then Monday morning, you just go, just try this, man. You might get fired, but it'd be fun. Just bound into the office and say, man, I'm glad Monday's finally here. New week, new opportunities, a new day, a new start. Oh, and thank God Monday's finally here. They're going to look at you. They're going to They're going to think you're really weird. I tell you something, though. Some people may start picking up on it. Yeah. I've been doing it so long around there that they're kind of a little bit cheery on Monday, you know? Hey, you know, a positive attitude is kind of infectious. Now, false positive attitude, where you don't have anything to be positive about, you're just making it up, you know, that's a waste. But I'm telling you, we got a lot of stuff to be positive about. Man, we got things to be, and I understand there's a season for everything, and I'm not always, and you know, I'm not like Brother Steve. You know, Brother Steve, man, that guy was the Energizer buddy. He would dance with you over there by the front door. He'd hold your hand, he'd hug, he'd laugh, he'd do all kinds of things. You know, my temperament is a little more even-toned, you know. And it's all right, you know, because a telephone needs both a ringer and a dial tone. So they're both important. But, you know, just because your personality may not be, you know, I'm not talking about necessarily just bouncing around and being light, but having having this attitude inside you. You know, see, that's what wisdom will teach you. There's this sense. There's this, I'm not even sure how to describe it. There's something about you that's different than everybody else. And it has to do with the joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, stuff like that, Proverbs will teach you. It'll teach you some of these things. It'll teach you discretion in knowing what to get involved in and what not to get involved in. Man, we are so foolish in the decisions that we make. I don't know how many times that I've had to sit in the living room, and I guess I could probably count them if I tried, because it's probably hadn't been all that many times, but and sit in the living room and listen to one spouse or the other declare why they're leaving, because they love someone else. You know, that is not wisdom, that's foolishness. You know what? What love is love is commitment. Love. Oh, yeah, you really know what you're talking about when it comes to love? You really want to know what you're talking about? Why don't you love somebody who's not worth loving? You know? That's that spouse that you have right now. Love them. Strengthen them. You know? Give yourself for them. But the sad thing is that a lot of us, we are just too self-absorbed. And we count somebody as a stud, right? Who can go out and deceive all these women into going to bed with them. Man, that's, I'll tell you what a real stud is. That's one who can convince the same woman over and over and over again, year after year after year, decade after decade, that you're still worth going to bed with. Seriously. That's wisdom. Hey, I didn't look up to the guys who could go down and date a bunch of women, you know. Seriously, anybody can do that. You put on a face, you lie a little bit, anybody can do that. But I tell you what, wisdom will teach you the benefits of long-term relationships. Wisdom will teach you the benefit, and let me tell you something about that. You know, a lot of the diseases in our society would go away if men were wise. They would just flat out go away. There are diseases that we have that are afflicted with, and now innocent people even afflicted with some of those diseases who never got involved with the sin. But a lot of those things would go away if we would just be wise. I'm not a prosperity gospel preacher by any means, but I do believe your quality of life would go way up if you would apply your heart to wisdom. If you would seek for her as for silver, if you would give as much effort to making a living, to seeking after wisdom as you do making a living, man, I'm telling you what, you may not have any money in the bank or necessarily have more or less than anybody else, but man, you would be a rich person in my eyes. Some of the characteristics, what does a wise man look like? You know, what is it? I mean, we have our stereotypes of wise men, right? We have the old proverbial guy that's on top of the mountain, you know, and he's just up there separated from anything, kind of meditating, and you crawl up the mountain to kind of find this great, wise nugget of advice, you know. We have our kind of stereotypes in society as to what wise men are, but, you know, and by any means, I'm going to give you a little bit of a list here, but this is by no means an exclusive list, because the The purpose of this study is to kind of whet your appetite to get into this book right here and find some nuggets that will actually help you out. Look at Proverbs in chapter 14 and verse 15. And these are just some examples. And if you look at the construction of most of these proverbs, there's several different ways that they're constructed. If you look at this one right here, verse 15, it says, "The simple believe every word," and then it's separated by the word "but." "The prudent man looketh well to his going." So this particular proverb is comparing things that are opposite. And so when you see it this way and you compare these things that are opposite, there's probably four or five other different kinds of ways that these proverbs are mentioned. As we see them, we'll try to point them out to you. Because if you read them this way, and remember what I said before, that many of these proverbs don't necessarily have context to them. Some of these are just a bunch of proverbs that are just put. Some of them have a progression to them, and others don't. Others are just put out there for your discretion. Remember what we said last week, a proverb is a short saying, something that'll stick in your mind. Consider this one. He said, "The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going." And there's a companion verse to that. Look at Proverbs in chapter 22, in verse 3. It says, "A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished." So here's two proverbs. They're both constructed the same way to contrast things that are opposite. You've got a simple man and you've got a prudent man. And that prudent man is the wise man. And in verse 15 of chapter 14, it says, "The simple believe every word." And that's exactly what a kid is, right? A kid believes every word. You have to be very careful with children because they will believe what you say. You know, I remember I was teaching Sunday school one time to the 4 and 5 year olds. And you know how their attention span is the attention span of an ant. And I actually told them that. I said, "You kids, you have the attention span of an ant." And one of the kids raised his hand and he said, "Why is there air?" or something like that. You know, see, I told you. But I gave some illustration, I don't remember what it was, and I was trying to compare things that are opposite, so I said, and I gave the godly example, and then I gave like a real silly example. I don't even remember, it involved a banana, that's all I can remember. And then I gave it out over here. That little kid went to his mom and said, "Brother Brian taught me this and this and this about this." And she came to me and said, "What are you teaching my kid?" You got to be careful because they believe every word. You get an adult who's simple, who believes every word. People have fun with those kind of people. When they're like, "Oh, really? Yeah." I mean, you can. But look at it from a serious point. The simple believe every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. The prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself. Let me tell you one of the characteristics of a wise man. How you can know when you're starting to get a little bit of wisdom in your soul. There's going to be a sense of cautiousness about you.
Amen.
The simpler, "Man, that sounds like fun. Let's go do it," you know. I remember being like that as a teenager and a young adult. Somebody be saying, "Hey, man, let's go wait till a cop car goes by and let's throw eggs at it. Whoa, cool," you know? I mean, sounds like so much fun, you know, until things start going wrong. I remember when I was just a little kid, you know, I got into his mind that this would be a real cool thing to just chuck rocks over my fence in my backyard. We lived next to a street. I don't know why I thought that, and so without even thinking, without even analyzing it, without even doing it, I'm sitting there chucking rocks over the thing. Next thing you know, crack, you know, crack, uh-oh. You know, and then you start realizing, hey, you know, maybe my actions weren't wise. Maybe I didn't think this thing through all the way. You know what a wise man does? He's a little bit cautious. He said, "Now, hold on a second. Let's just check this out for a minute." Let me tell you, that's why salesmen want you to sign on the dotted line right then. If they feel like you're going to be thinking about this thing, you know, and hard-sell salesmen, man, a man who can wait till tomorrow is a salesman's worst nightmare. Let me just think about it and come back tomorrow. Man, I found out the hard... I was at Red McCombs when I was about 23, and I was young, had bought my first brand new pickup, you know, and I was all excited in there, and I had my old pickup was just fine. There was nothing wrong with it, but you know how you get in your soul that you want something new and you deserve something? Man, I work hard. I deserve something new. And I was in there, but then there was something that just, I don't know, maybe this isn't a good idea. You know what the salesman did? The salesman did, okay, fine, you don't want to make a decision tonight? Let me tell you what I'd like to do. I'd like to let you go ahead and drive home in this truck. Really? No charge. You know, just drive home, go to work, come back tomorrow night. Okay, you know, he knew what he was doing. He didn't want to take no for an answer, you know, and once you get into that new truck, is it going to be real hard to go back to? You bet it is. I ended up, after 3 nights, I drove home, and he finally said, okay, fine, this is it, no more trucks. He made me sign on the dotted line. Oh, I wish I was wise. Because I found out later on that insurance was going to be triple what I thought it was going to be. What he said the car payment was going to be was the truth, but he added 2 more years onto the contract. I'm like, oh, man, I wished I was wise. You ever had that where you look back and say, I wished I'd have saw it coming? You know, wisdom will teach you some cautiousness. A wise man foreseeth the evil, and he hideth himself. But a simple just plows right on and is punished. That's one of the characteristics of a wise man. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes, which is written by the same author, and it also has Proverbs in it. Look at the book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 9 and verse 18. It says, wisdom is better than weapons of war. Wow. You know, it's better to be wise than it is to be well-armed. It's what it says right there. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. But one sinner destroyeth much good. Now, that's disconcerting. One sinner can destroy much good. Yeah, one man can cause a lot of damage. Shouldn't have to be that way. He's only one man. But you've seen cases. I mean, we could pull case studies out, different things that have happened. One man can really tear things up. One man can tear up a church. And they think that we're insensitive. That one time that Lindell said, hey man, you know, guy complaining and everything, and Lindell says, hey man, help us build this thing. He said, I can't do it. And he said, then leave. Oh, come on, you can't ask somebody to leave your church. Yes, you can. It's better for some people to be gone, I'm telling you. Look at chapter 10 and verse 1. It said, dead flies cause the ointment of the apothecary to send forth a stinking savor, so doth a little folly him that is in reputation for wisdom and honor. Let me tell you what a wise man will understand is it doesn't take much for things to come crashing down. It doesn't take but a little bit of folly to really destroy a lot of good. We have many, many verses in the Bible that talk about protecting our reputation, about being wise in what you do, about being cautious. He said, dead flies in the ointment of the apothecary send forth a stinking savor. It doesn't matter how the ointment of the, that's the pharmacist, and he makes this ointment, and they use it for different medicinal purposes, things, whatever he's designed it to be. You get a couple of dead flies in there, man, it just starts permeating the whole thing. Remember our honeymoon, Judy? We were out there, and we went on one of these tours. I'm going to explain this. So, our honeymoon was not dead flies, okay? You guys, your conclusions, you just jump ahead and you think things. We were on this tour and they stopped at this restaurant out in the middle of the jungle. And this was the place we were supposed to eat. And it was a tourist trap. You know, the meals were $25 each, you know. And so we're sitting there, and what they had is they had all of the possible meals spread out on this little bamboo table as you're walking into this little hut. And I mean, there was lobster. I mean, there was all kinds of really cool stuff covered in flies. Remember that? I mean, just flies everywhere. Oh, man, did that whet the appetite, you know? That just really made you want to eat there. It was really lucky for us. We hadn't had any breakfast, and we really were hungry. We ate anyway, but I'm telling you, it doesn't matter how good that food is, man. You get a few flies on it, man, just make it stink. You know what a wise man knows? Wise man knows it doesn't take a lot. Doesn't take but a little bit. He says protect, honor. He says follow after wisdom. Pray every day. Seek His face in the Word. Let me tell you something. We can't afford to get separated from that which is good and wise and godly. We can't afford to do it because there's a lot of damage that can take place. Be careful of careless moments. Be careful, careless speech. Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 12. It says, he that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor. Verse 12. He that is void of wisdom despiseth his neighbor, but a man of understanding holdeth his peace. Verse 13. A talebearer revealeth secrets, but he that is of a faithful spirit concealeth the matter. You know, we have other verses that retain to that. Let me tell you one of the things that a wise man will be aware of. He's going to be aware of the value of self-control. That's right. Amen. Oh, that's tough for some of us. Some of us that are given to impulsive, you know, things, you know, impulsive purchases, impulsive, just something coming out of your mouth. And there are some people who have no filter from their brain to their mouth, you know. There's another verse that says, a fool uttereth all his mind. And I'm telling you, you ever done that? And you're sitting there grabbing the air, trying to get those words to get back in your mouth, and it's too late by then. It's out. Well, you know, a wise man, he understands the value of self-control. A fool doesn't care who he hurts. Have you ever seen somebody just get so angry and so out of control that it's like a scorched earth, man, they just burn everything in their path and they don't care who they hurt and they don't care what's going on and they are going to destroy. I'm telling you something, we need to learn the wisdom of self-control, and that's something the book of Proverbs will teach us. It'll teach us how to help self-control with our speech. There are a lot of things we really shouldn't say. Amen. Me and brother, he was offended at some things that I said before, the brother was, And I was talking about, well, you weren't offended. You were just grossed out. Last week when I was talking about toothpicks under toenails, you know. It's like, oh, come on, man, no more like that, you know. Well, you know, that is one of the dangers of extemporaneous speaking, you know. When we don't write out our messages, that sometimes we really have to be in control as to what, you know, when something comes into your brain, it doesn't necessarily mean it should come out your mouth. You know, we learn to talk different than we've talked before when we're wise. You know, when you're a fool, if something somebody does and you don't like it, you just blurt it out. You don't care whether it tears them down. You don't care whether it's even slander. You know, there are a lot of things. I was guilty of something this week. I was actually guilty of slander. I blurted something out of my mouth about something that somebody had done. And then immediately realized, hey, wait a minute, maybe, what if this person's innocent? I just blurted it out and I had to apologize. I said, you know, I was out of place to say that. I really shouldn't have said that. You know, we just have that tendency of doing those things. Wisdom will teach you self-control. And man, I'm telling you what, we need self-control. In this society, we are encouraged not to be controlling over our own spirit. Guy that said, the book of Proverbs says, a man that hath control over his spirit is like a fence that's broken down. It's like a field that's full of weeds. Wisdom will teach us to have some self-control, and boy, I tell you what, we could really use it. And then, like we said before, wisdom, it's a precious commodity. It's something to be gained. It's something, man, I'm telling you something, sometimes insight hurts, doesn't it? Sometimes when you realize something about yourself and you realize, man, there is this something in myself and I don't like it and it's wrong. And that feels bad, but let me tell you, man, if you have some insight into something in your spirit that needs to be changed, and then you have some direction in the Word of God for how to change it, you have just been given a nugget of gold. You have been given something valuable. You ought to see it for what it really is, as something valuable. You know, you can identify a wise man, you can identify a fool by looking in the book of Proverbs. I would like to take you to this verse right here and have you consider this to kind of wrap things up. Look at Proverbs in chapter 13 in verse 20. It says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed." You know, that's like the testimony of when I got saved. You know, I am so thankful for God's mercy. I'm so thankful that God saved me. Because let me tell you what I was before I got saved. I was a companion of fools. I mean, I'm talking actual self-destructive, self-absorbed fools. And I ran with them. And I thought it was cool to be with them. And I thought we were having a great time. I thought things were just going so good. I'm telling you something. I was young enough to have enjoyed all the benefits of sin without yet having a lot of the consequences coming home to me. I got saved right in the middle of the high point of sin. Back when it was still fun, you know, back when it was still exciting, And then, once I got saved, I started hanging out here, and then I started realizing, man, I'm telling you, there ain't nothing like the Word of God to show you a change in your own soul. And I started realizing how dirty and nasty and filthy all that stuff really was. And so then I really wanted to change. And one day, I was hanging out with people that all they wanted to do was party and get drunk and get everything out of life they could get. The next day, I was walking with men that were talking about eternity. Amen. That we're talking about living forever. That we're talking about pleasing God in this present evil world. One day I was out there kicking up my heels, getting drunk. The next day I was actually knocking on some stranger's door. You call that? Man, that is really weird. I didn't even know this person and I'm knocking on their door, you know? Giving them a free gospel tract. You talk about being scared, man. Oh, man, what a blessing it was. Because I started walking around with wise men. And they started giving me some wisdom. There were some old men in the congregation that started teaching me some things. I got me some surrogate fathers. I got me some really cool older brothers. I got me a lot of cool people to hang out with. I became, and that's how I, whatever wisdom I have, it came from that right there. Let me tell you what Proverbs is trying to get you to do. It's to separate yourself from these fools. Amen. Get out of them. Start hanging around godly, wise men. Start seeking for wisdom like you seek for her as for hid treasure. Completely and totally turn your life around and change it and seek after the things that are going to be good for you. Telling you what, you want to transform your life. Seek after wisdom, hang around wise men, and separate yourself from fools. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I pray that you would instill in every one of us a desire to read these Proverbs, Lord, to understand them, and help us, Lord, to be able to apply them in our life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.